Father, every year has the highs and it has the lows, and this past year has been no different. There's been things that we would all celebrate that have happened in our life, and then there are things that have gone on in our life and in our church family that have been really difficult. And Father, we see all of those, and we acknowledge them. But Father, what we do know is that we always do have a reason to praise you. That no matter what is going on, that God, that you are with us, that your Son is Emmanuel, that he is always, always with us, that he is always good. So we always have reason to praise you. So Father, yes, we do even now want to stop and pray for this new year. Father, we pray that you would be at work in this church, in our lives, in our families, in these communities all around us. We pray, God, that you would be at work in a powerful way. We pray that you would be stirring our hearts. We pray that you would be bringing those who are lost, you would bring them home into a saving relationship with you. And Father, I pray for us as a church that you would use each one of us as your instruments so that would happen. Father, ultimately, that you would be glorified, that you would be pleased. Holy Spirit, we ask for you to be at work in us in a fresh way in this coming year. Guide me as I communicate your word this morning. Speak to our hearts. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So we're going to take, we're working through the Gospel of John. You guys know that. It's been a wonderful thing just to dig into the gospel and every Sunday to keep thinking about Jesus. This Sunday, we're going to be doing something a little bit different. I would ask that you open up your Bibles or your phones, whichever that the case might be, to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. New Life family, I want to encourage you to bring your Bibles with you to church. It's a wonderful, wonderful habit to get into. John chapter 17, we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 21. And so what I'm going to be doing, just so you know, is as we keep talking about this blessed thing this morning, what we want to do is just kind of give you a explanation of what blessed is. And I think this is going to be super simple. All of you are going to leave this morning and you're going to be like, okay, you've been talking about bless and you've been talking about the Sunday school class. Now, Pastor Michael, after this morning, I have a pretty good handle on what that means. I trust that all of us are going to leave here this morning and understand it. But I'm also praying this. I'm also praying that the Spirit of God will be at work in our hearts. Not just for understanding, because you're going to understand it, but that also that you will feel compelled to lean into this. Not just to understand the idea of outreach, but also that your heart is changing so that you really, you and I, we really have a desire to love the lost sons and daughters of God. I'm going to use an illustration that I've used before. And sometimes when an illustration is so good, you have to use it multiple times, right? It's just what you have to do. How many of you are football fans? Raise your hand if you love football. All right. Now raise your hand if sometimes football is an idol for you. Raise your hand. Get up. I'm joking. I don't really want you to do that. Okay. Some of you raised your hand. That's good. That's good. That's honesty. So, and the truth is sometimes I would have to raise my hand with that. But this is maybe one of the reasons why I like this illustration is because it's related to football. And I have shared it with you before. Francis Chan. This comes from him. And he talks about the idea that you and I, that we can get stuck as Christians and as a church into what many people have called the holy huddle. You've heard this phrase before, right? The holy huddle. Okay, some of you are shaking your head. No, that's actually quite shocking to me. I've been in church all my life, so I've heard this phrase, you know, 30 years ago. But the holy huddle, so let me share with you just this thought to get us thinking as I'm about to read this passage for us. So the way it goes is this. Imagine, going back to football, imagine that you're in the stadium and your home team is there and it's a really big game. It's kind of like the game in 7 days when it's South Dakota versus North Dakota, right? So it's a really big game. There's a lot on the line. You're in the stands and you're there to root on your team. You see your team there is on the bench And what they do is something that we're familiar with. They run out onto the field and they get into their huddle, right? They get into their huddle and they talk about their play, and then you're just waiting for the action to happen. And what they do is they just kind of jog back to the bench. And then like a minute later, they go out onto the field again and they get into their huddle and they talk about their play, and they're really excited about their play. This is the play that we're going to run. I want you to run a post. I want you to run a slant. And then what they do is they jog and go back to the sideline again. So my question is, if you are in the stands, how would you begin to feel about their actions? How would you feel? You can just go ahead and say it out loud. A little disappointed? Some of you might want your money back, right? It's like, what the heck is going on? It's like, this is not what football is all about. And here's the point, is that if you and I are not careful, that's what church becomes. If you and I are not careful as Christians and as a church, what we do is we get together in our holy huddle once a week, and that you might refer to this, and I love getting together with the church family. This is one of the highlights for me every single week. But if we're not careful, we get together on Sunday morning, and we talk about the play, right? We read the Word of God, we talk about the play, and then the tendency, though, is this, is that we go back to our life, and we might not do anything that the play actually said. And then what we do is, 7 days later, we get back together again and we talk about all the plays, and then we go back home. And what can happen is this, is that the church and your Christian life, it can become a holy huddle. You and I are only getting together with other Christians, and we've lost sight of the world around us. You guys have probably heard this before. Research bears this out. And this should be a little bit, this should be troubling to us, that the longer you and I are Christians, the fewer what do you have? Does anyone know the answer? Non-Christian friends. And this is just research, right? The longer you and I, and to some degree it makes sense, and now we have this new community, but the problem is this, is that the longer that we've been Christians, the more we form into this holy huddle, and we're not connected to the lost at all. And so what we are going to do is this, is we're going to talk about bless, but we're going to see the biblical rationale for living as sent people from John chapter 17, looking and starting at verse 13. So that's where I'm going to start and read for us, and you will understand how this all ties together as we read the Word of God. Verse 13. But now I am coming to, I'll say this, I'm sorry, shouldn't do that, right? It just started. Keep in mind, this is a prayer. Jesus is praying this prayer to his heavenly Father. So that's just kind of the context to help you understand this. Verse 13. But now I am coming to you, speaking to the Father, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world. I'm going to say that again. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's you and I. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And I'm going to stop right there. So, a lot of times when we think about the Lord's Prayer, we actually don't think about this passage of Scripture. But this is a wonderful insight into the heart of who Jesus is. One of the things that you begin to understand how a person thinks, you begin to understand what's important to a person by how a person prays. You ever thought about that before? How you and I pray is going to reveal to God the Father, and it should reveal to us actually what's important to us. And if we're not careful, a lot of times what we end up doing is our prayers are just all about ourselves. Have you ever noticed that? You get done with your prayer time and you realize, I've just prayed for my safety of my family. I've prayed for myself. I've prayed for work. And what Jesus is saying is, he's not saying any of that is bad, but he's revealing his heart for what? What are you seeing about Jesus' heart in this passage? You're seeing he has a heart for those who are lost. And so this is a prayer. So I want to share with you a couple main thoughts. Of course, we could just preach an entire sermon just on this passage of Scripture alone. But I want to share with you a couple thoughts from this passage as a way, as a foundation for helping us to understand why this whole bless thing keep talking about it. Why is it important? Is this just Pastor Michael's idea? No, it's not. This is actually something that we are called to by the Word of God. I want you to see that. So the first thing that I want us to recognize, and maybe this is not a news flash for you, but here it is. Each believer has been sent out on a mission. Each believer has been sent out on a mission. So what I want you to do is I want you to look at verse 18 again. And I want you to, again, you need to begin to understand, is this something that you have honestly accepted as a Christian? That you have been sent out on a mission. Look at verse 18. What does 18 say? Jesus is praying to the Father and he says, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And so what Jesus is being very clear about is this, is that he has been sent to this earth, right? He's been sent to this earth. He was sent to this earth. And this earth for Jesus was a very dangerous place on many levels. I mean, it's easy for us to understand that, right? And we're about to partake of communion. And we partake of communion because Jesus' body was broken for us. He's whipped. He was beaten. He died on a cross. So many people that he created as he came to this earth on a mission of love, they killed him, right? And so we understand that this was a very dangerous mission that Jesus was on. And so why do we point out what probably is just a rather obvious insight? It's because for you and I, we need to embrace this. Can you imagine for a moment? Can you imagine if Jesus was resistant to the idea of going someplace that wasn't safe? Can you imagine if Jesus was like many of us American Christians, if he made safety into an idol, quite honestly, like you and I do often? Really, sometimes that's like the main thing that we're seeking. I want a safe life. I want a comfortable life. I want the American dream life. Can you imagine if that was Jesus's mentality? He never would have come to this earth. He never would have lived this life on earth. He never would have pursued you. He wouldn't have done anything that he did, but he recognized that God the Father had sent him on a mission. And that mission was to save you. And I want to give you a quick word of encouragement. As we are talking about evangelism, as we're talking about outreach, as we're talking about embracing this identity, and this is a core identity of who you are, by the way. Now, you get a choice whether or not, if you're born again, and I don't know if everyone here is, but if you are born again, if you're a child of God, and to some degree, it's up to you how much you're going to embrace this, right? Jesus is saying that you are a sent people, that you're not here just to consume things. You're not here just to live a good life. You are sent for a purpose. You and I have a choice to make. Are we actually going to live this way? But the word of encouragement is this, and I want to remind you of it because it's just obvious to me, and that is, I know that many of you are already living this way. So I don't, as we are preaching about living as sent people, I don't want to give you the sense that as a church we're not doing this, that no one is living on mission. As I see the youth, as I see them in their schools, I know that there are a good number of our students that are reaching out to other students in the school. I see that. I know that. I hear stories about it. Kids Hope USA is a ministry that we're partnering with. And it's not just something that I'm doing. It's something that a number of you are doing. Roosevelt Elementary School. We have people who are going into the school and living as mentors. Why am I bringing this up? Because I know that many of you are already doing this. What I hope this morning is this, that we will just stoke the flame a little bit more, that we keep on recognizing that just as Jesus was sent to this earth, that you and I were sent to this earth as well on a mission. You guys think about your life that way? Honestly, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, isn't there a terrible temptation that you are facing every weekday, that you start getting caught up in a different story, right? After a while, your story becomes about your job, right? After a while, your story becomes about your life. After a while, your story becomes about your hobbies. After a while, your story becomes about everything that you want. You and I, we desperately need to be reminded that's not primarily what life is all about. You've been sent out for a purpose. How does that play out? How will that play out in the workplace tomorrow? It should. How will it play out in your home tomorrow? Well, it should. And so we have to remember that we have been sent out on a mission. The second thing we're going to notice is this. As we think about, and these two points are obviously very intertwined. As we think about the fact that you and I have been sent out, this second point, this should give our life purpose and meaning. This should give our life purpose and meaning. So as we think about Jesus, what he's saying is that he has been sent by the Father. What do you think he means by that? What was Jesus sent to this earth to do? I mean, I want you, it's probably good for you to formulate an answer in your own mind. He didn't come to this earth just to enjoy a comfortable life, right? That's not the gospel story at all. How about Luke 19:10? What does Luke 19:10 tell us? Well, it's the words of Jesus. He's pretty clear. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what? You can answer. The lost. I'm going to say it again. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So now, did Jesus come to do some other things? Well, of course he did. But we would all agree that one of the primary things he did is he came to save you. Are you a child of God this morning? One of the primary things that he came to this earth to do was to pursue you. When you were lost in your sins, when you were lost in rebellion, he came after you in the middle of all your darkness, in the middle of all your sin. He pursued you so much that he was willing to die on a cross, take your sins upon himself, and be risen again after 3 days. You and I have been given a very similar mission. Now, none of us, thankfully, are being called to die on a cross, right? You could, but it wouldn't have the same effect as Jesus dying on the cross. Why? Because he's God. He's man. Fully God, fully man. So our mission is not to go and die on a cross like Jesus, but our mission is to be a part of the redemptive work that God is doing. To understand that you are here as an instrument for the purposes of God, for you and I to embrace that. How many days do you think you have left on earth? Man, I do funerals more than, you know, most people would ever think about in their lifetime. And so I think because of that, I think about my days on earth more often. Like, how many days do I have left? You and I, you have been given a gift of maybe one more year. Maybe 6 months. Maybe 5 years, maybe 30 years. You have been given these days as a gift. And so the question is, are we going to embrace our identity as sent people or not? Have you ever met a Christian who's kind of bored? Have you ever met a Christian where you talk to them and there's not much sense of excitement about their Christian life? Maybe some of us here this morning, we're like, yeah, that's kind of me. Like I go to church, but it doesn't feel like my life is really much of an adventure. It just feels like I'm doing religious stuff occasionally. And so what I want to remind you of is this, the idea of a Christian being bored, that should be an oxymoron. I mean, if you and I understand what is at stake, right? If you understand that there is heaven and there is a literal eternal hell, if you and I actually get that, every single day is filled with meaning. That person at workplace, right? Think of that person at the workplace that drives you crazy. Can you think of that person? Nod your head if you can identify them right now. No one works with anyone annoying. Come on. That is not possible. Now, here at the church, I don't, because they're all wonderful, fully sanctified people. So that's not true for me. That person should be someone that you love and you care about. And so for you and I, what we have to keep in mind, if you start to feel like your life is becoming kind of boring, that you're wondering where that sense of adventure is at, what we need to do is realize what is really at the core of who we are. It's not all about redoing your house. It's not all about retirement. It's not all about your grandkids. You and I have been sent here on earth with a mission. Amen? And we're desperately going to need the Holy Spirit to stir that fire within us. We're desperately going to need the Holy Spirit to stir that fire within us so that we embrace this story. We embrace this mission that we have been sent on. So I just wanted to take the next few minutes. This is going to be a shorter than normal sermon. No applause. Hold your applause. This is going to be perhaps a shorter than normal sermon. What now I want to do is this. You guys know this, right? You know the word. I could have turned to what, like 50 passages that talk about loving the lost in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. This is just one example of literally hundreds that talk about you and I being sent out, that we're to be ambassadors, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just kind of a reminder of what your identity is. That you and I, you don't get to define what your life is about. You know that, right? You don't get to define what your life is all about. We take that from the Word of God. It's just up to us if we're going to embrace it or not. I'll just say this real quick. I have to be careful. And then I'll talk about bless. There is definitely a time where all of us are going to go through hard times and we're going to grieve, right? That we're going to go through struggles and we're going to go through difficulties. And that's okay. God understands that. We go through difficult seasons and we wrestle with it and we grieve. We grieve, why? Because we're made in the image of God and God himself grieves, right? So it reveals who God is. Grief is a good thing at those appropriate times. But what I want to warn you about is this, is I think one of the things that makes us really miserable is when we're just kind of stuck. Listen, when we're stuck all the time thinking about ourselves. You ever been there before? Where all of your thoughts are about you. Where all your thoughts are about your circumstances. Where all your thoughts are about how your life is going. I want to tell you, if you want to be miserable, do that. You and I, we have not been called just to think about our little nuclear family and how well our family is doing. That's not all your life is supposed to be about. I mean, you have been blessed for a reason, so that you can bless other people. If you want to once again experience the Holy Spirit at work in your life, here's what you should do. Start thinking about other people. So this bless thing. Ephesians 4 talks about the work of leaders, ministry leaders in the church, that we should be equipping people to do the work of ministry. The very straightforward principle from the Apostle Paul. None of us here would wrestle with that. And what that means is that our strategy for evangelism can't only be that you invite people to come to church on Sunday morning, right? We know that, right? And so that can't be our only. So I just want Pastor Michael to do the work of evangelism for me. After all, we pay him money. So he should do evangelism. That's not a biblical paradigm for the Christian life. Instead, a biblical paradigm is that we as elders, that we are equipping you to do the work of ministry. And so that you realize everyday life is your mission field and you are embracing it and living as men and women, young and old, who know Jesus and are living for his glory. And so with that said, that just sets up the whole idea of bless. So how do we live this way? How do we live as sent people? Well, let me explain to you what bless is all about. So bless is, well, it's an anacronym. It's only taken me 50 plus years to be able to pronounce that. It's an anacronym. And so what that means is bless, each letter begins with an explanation of what it is all about. So let's start with B. B, begin with prayer. So as a church, as we are going to be talking about how do we actually live this out, you don't want to be talking about this grand mission. You don't want to be talking about what we're going to be doing as a church and not actually giving some tracks for this train, so to speak, to actually move on. So B is to begin with prayer. So what I'd ask you to do right now is probably in your hand or in the seat next to you, there's a little card there. I'd ask for you to go ahead and pick that up. You know, sometimes what you do is you come in, you just kind of push it off to the side, right? Ugh, there's another card there. I would actually ask that you would pick it up. And we have extra copies that we can get to you. And we're going to be sharing this in the Sunday school class next Sunday as well. So as you and I think about, well, how do we do this? When it comes to bless, what we are going to be encouraging you to do, what I have been doing myself is that you and I start with prayer. That you begin asking God to work in your own life. Father, the truth of the matter is that lately I haven't even had much of a heart for the lost. Have you ever noticed that about yourself? Where you're like, I've gotten so busy with work. I've gotten so busy with all these other things that I'm actually not even thinking about all the lost people all around me. So the B would be begin with prayer. You think we could see this revealed in the life of Jesus Christ at all? We only want to do the things that we know that are honoring to Christ, things that he lived out. What about in Luke 6? In Luke 6, we find that Jesus went out and spent the night in prayer. Raise your hand the last time you did that. You went out, you spent the entire night in prayer. Raise your hand. Right, I haven't done that either. I was just listening to, hopefully he was telling the truth. It's a pastor in New York City. And he was talking about on New Year's Eve, how there were hundreds of people in his church that all night on New Year's Eve, that they were praying for their city, that they were getting together and interceding and asking for the Holy Spirit to be at work in their city in a new way. And so this is a really good place to start. If you're wondering, well, why haven't I been doing this? And so in the class, this is one of the things that we're going to be talking about. We need to begin with prayer. So what does the L stand for? Listen with care. Listen with care. Some of us are really good talkers, right? Some of us love to talk. Some of us, and you know this person, right? Like as you're talking to them, you notice the whole time they're just waiting to get in what they want to say. Have you ever met that person before? Right? You're communicating something the whole time. You know that they're just waiting to get in what they want to say. They're just like waiting to jump in. And one of the things that you and I need to do is we need to be willing to listen. We need to be willing to listen to the Spirit. And let's make no mistake about it. Primarily, the Spirit of God speaks to us through his word. Amen. Amen. That's the right answer. This is the primary way the Spirit of God speaks to us. So we need to be listening to God. So, but this also means listening to people. So let me ask you a good question. Would the people in your everyday life, especially those who don't know the Lord, would they describe you as a good listener? Are you the kind of person that people who don't know the Lord, are you the kind of person that they would talk to because you're such a good listener? You think about all the stories of Jesus. The stories of Jesus interacting with people, it's a conversation, isn't it? We just talked about the woman at the well. Was that wasn't a mini sermon where Jesus is just giving his a monologue. It is a conversation that is taking place. He is asking questions. He is listening to her so that he can understand. So this is something all of us can do. You can pray. You can listen. B-L, what's the E stand for? Eat or experience together. B-L-E, eat or experience together. So what this means is that we share meals, coffee, and life with people who do not yet know Jesus. So let me ask you a question. Can you think of any examples in Scripture where Jesus would eat with sinners? Can you think of any examples? The truth is, you find them all over the place. I mean, part of that is because everyone is a sinner, right? But so we know this to be the case. For example, Matthew 9, Jesus was eating with tax collectors. And so again, this is something that all of us can do. All of you eat. Hopefully all of you drink coffee, because that's surely a sign of sanctification too, right? So all of us can pick up the phone and say, hey, I would love to have lunch with you. I would love just to, you know, hang out, spend some time with you. Again, keep in mind, bless. I'm a little bit skeptical, and I know that other people on the staff and the elders are as well, of like always doing things that are like big programs. All right, as a church, we're going to do this really big program. There's a time and a place for it, right? But I get a little bit skeptical about it. Instead, what I would like to do is I would like for us to understand, how do we live out our faith in everyday life? We don't always need a big program. We don't always need to bring in a big speaker. What we need to do is understand that God has placed you where you are at for a strategic purpose, right? I mean, there are people all around you in everyday life that God is like, I put you there. I placed you there. I know that person drives you crazy, but we did the same thing to God, right? We live lives of rebellion and still he pursued us. Marcy and I, at the end of January, I use this as an example. I need to grow in evangelism, by the way. Staff, elders know that. We talk about that. But Marcy and I, we picked a date at the end of January. And what we are going to do is I'm going to go to their doors, people in our neighborhood, and we're just going to get together for coffee and dessert. It's as simple as that. The end of January, maybe just like four or five families. Just say, hey, I would just love to get to know you. I'm not gonna sneak in the gospel. You know, I'm not gonna turn on The Chosen, you know, at the end of the night. You know, all right, I'm glad you're here. Let's watch a season of The Chosen, you know, because they would never come over again. The Chosen is wonderful. That's not my point. We're just going to get to know them. And the truth is, I need to get to know them. There's people that live all around me. So again, we're talking about things that everyone can do, young or old. What's the next one? B-L-E. The E is eat or experience together. The S is serve with love. Serve with love. Well, we've already talked about that many of you are doing that, right? You're serving in the church. You're serving in Awana. You're serving in youth ministry. You're serving in many ways. So grateful that that is the truth. But we need to continue to lean into this. John 13, what we see is Jesus, our example, he's doing something amazing. He's washing the feet of the disciples. This is something that only like servants would do. And Jesus said what? That he came not to be served, but to what? To serve. So let me ask you, how in your everyday life can you begin serving other people? The last one is this, is share your story. Share your story. If you are in Christ this morning, I want to keep saying this. You have an amazing testimony to share with others. You have to recognize that. I was saved when I was 9 years old. My dad was a Baptist preacher. My testimony is amazing, even though I was saved at 9, because Jesus rescued me from eternal hell. Every single person here has an amazing testimony to share. Have you been sharing that with other people? You guys ever heard of Francis Assisi, he has a quote that I pretty much despise. His quote is this: preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. I kind of understand what he means. I think what he means is that our life reveals a lot about who God is. I don't deny that for a minute. If at work you're mean-spirited, you're grumpy, you don't talk to people, yeah, your life is revealing something really negative about who God is. I hope that's not the case. But here's the thing. You can't be saved, and your friends can't be saved if you don't speak words to them. It won't happen. They're not going to be saved just because you're kind of a moral, religious person. They need to hear the gospel. They desperately need to hear you articulate. Where were you when you were lost? You, at one point in time, you were lost in your sins. They need to hear you communicate. They need to hear you share with them the words of Scripture. We need to be willing to share our story. So here's how I want to wrap this up as we're about to take communion here. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to take that card. I'd like you to grab it. And I want to give you a moment. You can write it down or you could just think about it. And this is going to be leading into next Sunday, into the Sunday school class. I would like you to take a minute and look at that and think about one person in your everyday life that you're like, man, I know that God is calling me to build a relationship with this person. I'm going to give you a moment right now to think about that. And then I'm going to pray for us and we're going to take communion. This is between you and the Lord. Who's one person that you know that you have a relationship with, that you can build that relationship, and that you can begin to live in such a way that you are blessing them? There's one person. I ask you to bow your heads. Have the auditorium host come up here. We're about to take communion. Motivation. Inspiration for living as sent people. That's what really communion is all about. As we're about to partake of communion, keep in mind this, that we take communion, it's for those who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This is not just a rote thing that we do. This is for those of us, the only requirement to partake of communion is this, is that you are born again. That the broken body of Jesus Christ, you recognize it was broken for you on your behalf. And so as we, even as we take communion this morning, just begin to ask God to soften your heart, to recognize all the grace that you have received, and that in fact he is calling you to pour that grace out into the lives of other people. So dearly Father, we do just ask that you are at work in us, that you are growing us, Father, that you are inspiring us and challenging us, Father, to share the same good news that we have received with others. We ask that you would be at work in our hearts right now. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.